What is going on, everybody? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. This is episode 34, and we are talking to Wynn. I really enjoyed this episode. I actually moved it up because of how important I thought it was. I know we have Christmas coming up. We have New Year's just a week away now, and it's crazy. But I feel like I get in this mode, you know, the New Year's thing, and it's like I want to get everything sort of taken care of and sort of wrapped up and all of these things. And Wynn talks a lot about just getting organized and getting your life sort of organized and all of these things. And she actually confronts me because I say, this is a great episode for the new year. I think I'm going to launch it then. And she's like, why would you wait? So I really appreciated her honesty and candor there. And I think it's important for all of us. And so I pushed this episode up to now because I feel like it's just something I want us to be thinking about. Like, I feel like a lot of times the disorganization in my life, the places where I don't have discipline, are the places that hold me back sometimes from doing what God has for me, or at least as effectively as it could be done, you know? And so I think it's even put a little onus on myself to sort of get my stuff together and sort of get my life organized and declutter and all of that stuff. I think it's all so healthy. You're going to love this interview. God's story and God's moving in Wynn's life is so, so apparent. She has this saying, so basically God, that one of her friends told her, and that's the story of her life. She does essential oils now, but she has done so many different things. She's an entrepreneur. She's into adoption. We talk a lot about adoption. This episode has everything for you. I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. So if you can, do me a favor, a couple of things. One, get out and share this episode and just let people know. I mean, I think it's an important thing for us all. And then if you don't mind, hop on your app, whether it's iTunes or whatever you're listening to me on, go ahead and give me a review. Leave me a rating and review. It just helps get the word out. It just helps show people that people actually, you know, listen to this podcast, that it's worthwhile, that it's worth their time. So I would appreciate you doing those two things. Make sure you follow Wynn on all the socials. She's always got great stuff out there. I'll leave all those links below, and I hope you enjoy this episode with Wynn. All right. Well, hey, Wynn, thanks for jumping on the podcast with me. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
Heck yeah. I'm excited to chat about the hustles, all your hustles. So why don't we jump off here and just have you sort of introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah. Well, my name is Wynn Elder. I am a wife. My husband, Steven, and I were college sweethearts. We just celebrated 12 years. We have three kiddos. Our oldest two came to us via international adoption. And then our youngest is a little miracle baby named Rivers. She's about to be two. And yeah, I'm a working stay-at-home mom. I've done a lot of different side hustles, if you will. But right now, my current full-time gig, aside from being a mom, is running a fairly large essential oils team with Young Living. I like to call it's called Haven and Flourish. So created that space. I have a passion for creating spaces for women. Well, there's some men on our team too now, but mostly women, to belong and to feel known and seen. And then I just love to see people flourish in whatever it is they're doing. So have created this fun little community over there and going for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it looks incredible. I love to check out all your stuff there. We dabble in essential oils. So it's nice to have somebody who can sort of show us the way, you know?
So, yes. So.
Where to start here? So many things with your work and stuff. And how did all that like start? Like, 'cause you've done a lot of like multi-level marketing sort of things. You've done a lot. Do you mind sort of walking us through a little bit of that history?
Yeah. So when we first got married, my dream was to run a Christian summer camp. That was always my dream. That's what I did every summer growing up. It's what I majored in college. My husband and I interviewed for a couple of full-time camp jobs, but if you know anything about summer camps, it's just hard to do if you're not both doing it full-time. So that dream of mine was sort of put on hold for a little bit. I actually worked for a ministry that put on a summer camp for youth, and it was at that camp that a friend actually challenged me to pray about adoption. And so we started the adoption process after that summer at the camp. And that's why my oldest son's name is Camp, because it's sort of the symbolism that God had this camp for me, but it looked different than what I thought. We sort of entered the world of adoption and international missions. I started in the middle of all of that doing some photography. I always loved it and decided to pursue it as a business. And when I stopped working full-time for the ministry, I did photography full-time. I wanted to do something that was flexible and that was creative and that allowed me to interact with people. So I sort of had this big dream one time. I was like, I would love to go on a mission trip and photograph and tell the stories of what's going on. Literally, I'm telling my mentor this at her house, and our missions pastor from our church at the time called and said, "Hey, Wynn, do you think you could go to El Salvador over spring break and take pictures and tell the story of what our church is doing with the ministry there?" I'm like, yes. So that was crazy. And it just sort of kept going from there. Then I was like, I would love to go take pictures of a family adopting their kids internationally. And the next day, my friend Jessica called and asked me to travel with them to Rwanda to photograph their adoption of their son, Jack. In the middle of the adoption process, we got connected with Jessica, who I was just speaking of. She's the founder of Noonday Collection. We met her and her husband at an adoption conference. It was the day that she launched her fair trade fashion brand, Noonday, as basically an adoption fundraiser. I loved the pieces. I loved her. I loved the stories. We were adopting. My husband had said yes that day to adopt. So we were about to start to raise a ton of money. And I said, "Would you come to my West Texas town and do a show?" And she's like, "Well, it's sort of too far for me to go do that." But I finally convinced her to mail me a small box of samples, coach me for an hour on the phone. I printed off all the things, and we did over $5,000 in one day in this truck show. And she called me after that, and she's wow. like, "Okay, do you want to be an ambassador?" I'm like, "What's that?" So she was just starting the ambassador program to basically expand and have people like her around the country to open their homes and tell the story of these beautiful pieces that artisans make. And so I was the fourth ambassador for Noonday and got to travel around the world taking pictures and telling stories for them. And then photographing the Honegger's adoption was huge. So that was sort of the beginning of my entrepreneurial hustle, if you will. The summer that we went to court in Ethiopia to get our kids, I just lived in Ethiopia for the summer because I was just running my own photography business and I could. And I took pictures of families who were adopting. And then when they came home, I just sort of, that's the beauty of it. I sort of stopped doing photography full time. I was still doing Noonday, but just sort of for a little bit while we were, with adoption, working on attachment and just adjusting to going from zero to two kids. I was just able to be home with them and do some things that I loved sort of on the side when I had the time and not feel any pressure to go back to work.
Wow. So it strikes me like you basically didn't have a choice in any of that, right? I mean, it's like, God's like, "Oh, here you go. This is what you're doing next," right? There's no like, time to pray about these things or something, right? It's just like so apparent.
We just sort of went for it. And that's why I'm just such a big proponent of like, dream your dreams out loud and say the scary thing out loud that you think might not ever happen and watch and see what happens. Put yourself out there. So from there, we ended up moving to where we live now, Bryan College Station. We've been here almost 4 years. So when we moved here, so I had a studio in my home in Midland that I had all my Noonday, all my photography. And when we were coming down here to look at houses, my husband found this awesome space in downtown Bryan, which is super cute, historic. He was like, "This space is super cool. We need to lease it." I'm like, "Well, what are we going to do with it?" He's like, "I don't know, but it's just really cool." So I'm like, "Okay." So we signed a 3-year lease on the space, not knowing what we were going to do with it. We stored our furniture in it for a while because we were waiting to move into our house. Our church staff office there for a while because they didn't have an office. It eventually became like a co-working space with me and a couple of other local photographers. And then it became an event space. And it was really fun. We hosted fun local gatherings down there, did noonday shows, pop-up shops, adoption events. People got engaged there. We had prayer nights, and it was really, really a sweet. It was called The Haven, which is sort of where my whole passion for creating Haven, being a Haven maker, came to be. But I think just like anything, like that was a season and it was beautiful, but we actually ended up getting out of our lease a couple months early. So it was about a 2.5-year ordeal. And I would love to have something like that again one day, but in the season of having little kids, it was just a lot.
No kidding. Wow. Your husband sounds like a very adventurous guy. Like, hey, there's a space. Let's just rent and see what happens, right? That's awesome.
That's how
awesome.
We roll. Yep.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk oils then. Okay, I just want to preface this. I might need your help on this a little bit, right? So we eat paleo, right? I'm very into the whole health thing. I'm all in. I make my own kefir water, you know, for probiotics. Oils, though, feel a little bit more nebulous to me, right? Like we've dabbled in them, whatnot. What is it that like initially convinced you that like this is the route, right? Like that oils are the thing for you?
Well, I signed up as a member with Young Living. It'll be 5 years this summer. I was not drinking my green juice. I was not eating healthy. I was not on this journey to wellness that I am on now at all. We were struggling with infertility and hormone stuff and emotion stuff. And my good friend and big sister from my sorority in college was the one that was like, hey, I think these could actually help. Listen to this recording. If you're interested, I can help you. And so I was sort of just to a point where I was really desperate. I was like, yes, let's do it. I just joined as a member. She started talking to me about sharing. I was like, I want to know that I love this and that I'm often that I can share about it from an authentic place before I say like, yes, I want to sell it. I was also at the time doing Noonday, running The Haven, still was blogging. And I had an infertility retreat ministry called the Carry Camp that I ran with two other girls. And so I just had a lot going on, but I loved the product so much. I started sharing about it pretty quickly and authentically and started making some side money. I was like, wow, this is like for real. This is cool. But it took me 2 years to really catch the vision for what it could be. And if you've never done multi-level marketing or residual income, like it can seem, I don't know, there's a lot of perceptions, I guess, that people have about it, but it is truly an incredible model of teamwork. We say all the time, like we rise by lifting others. It is not a solo sport. it is something that you do with people, which is why I was telling you before we started recording, I sort of have this like cheesy thing that I call MLM, My Little Ministry. And I remember like a year and a half ago, we were in Utah for a Young Living convention. And one of my good friends lives there, and her husband are pastors there. And we were at breakfast and I was like, Sarah, tell me about what's going on with, you know, church life. And she was telling me all the things. And I'm like, I know that you probably are going to think this sounds super weird, but all the things that you do in your ministry for your church are the same things that I do for my business. Just not in the context of the church, but in the context of this business. And that was sort of this light bulb moment for me. And this is so much more. Yes, it's like getting people into this idea of health and wellness and using essential oils in their daily life, because honestly, there is an oil for everything. You have a headache, you can't sleep, you have anxiety, your kid can't focus, you have a cold. Like there, it's just sort of changing out what we're used to grabbing and reaching for an oil instead. But it's the leadership part and the ministry part and the relational part that really is my favorite.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's like, I mean, you just described the podcast in its most basic state, which is like, we use our jobs to do ministry, but talking about leadership and all that, like, do you feel like, I mean, how did you get to that point where that stuff came easy to you? I mean,
well, it's not easy. It's stretching and it's growing. And I say all the time that the Lord has used this business to refine me in similar ways that parenting and marriage has. Like, it is messy. You're working with a bunch of mostly women in a job where your job is to put yourself out there, which is scary. And so it brings up in all of us fears and insecurities and all this gross stuff that we would rather not deal with, but it sort of makes us deal with it. And which is the part that I love, because there's so much about personal growth and just growing to be a better version of yourself. Like I say all the time, we're not comparing ourselves to somebody else or their journey, but just to who we were the day before. And so, like, I want to be a better, more present mom, wife, friend. I want to be sharper and, you know, like, I want to be a bigger dreamer. Like, I want to do better for this world. And so I can't do that by just, like, sitting around and hoping it's going to happen. I've got to actually do something. So I think that there are, you know, thinking back to leadership qualities that I had from even, like, as cheesy as being a high school cheerleader. Like, I was at my daughter's school last year at a pep rally and at small school, which is where I went, you know, I went to a small private high school, and I'm watching these 16 and 17 year old girls, like, just put themselves out there where nobody's clapping. Everyone's just staring at them. I'm like, man, that they have to have confidence to do that. And so, like, I think for people who grow faster in a network marketing thing, maybe it's because they have built up some skills prior to joining, you know, this kind of opportunity, and it can maybe help them go a little bit faster, but it's a growth process for everybody.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think I've ever equated cheerleading with leadership skills, but I mean, the case you make is very compelling. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. That's cool. There are so many things I want to ask you about. How did you go about growing all this stuff? Like you, I mean, cause even in the essential oils world, like, you've grown pretty quickly. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So do you feel like it's just confidence and exuding that sort of stuff and staying on social media, or cause I feel like it's such a grind, you know what I mean? Or it can be to, like, grow a team and all that stuff.
It is. I mean, my first thought is, like, I was talking to my friend, Bailey, telling her my story of how there was basically in 2017, my team grew extremely fast, and I was telling her the story. And at the end she goes, "So basically God," and I just laughed and I was like, "Yes, so basically God." Like, we always go back to that story because yes, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of hustle and a lot of heart and a lot of showing up and being consistent every single day, but also a lot of the favor of the Lord. And I tell people, like, I feel like people think to succeed in network marketing, you have to have a big social media following, and you don't at all. There are people who are very successful in my business who don't. But when people say, like, how do you, you know, who are all these people that follow you? What's going on? I'm like, well, I have been openly sharing my life online for over 10 years. And so what might look like, oh, she has all these followers, or that just happened to her so fast. No, it was actually over 10 years of putting myself out there and being vulnerable and sharing my story and connecting with people. Like, my goal on social media is to build trust with people and to connect with people, because ultimately when whatever we're selling or whatever hustle we're doing, we're not really selling the product as much as we're selling ourselves. And I love people and I love connecting with people. And I think that everyone is a potential friend, and that's like my favorite thing ever. And so this has just been a great avenue for me to sort of use the ways that God has gifted me for his kingdom.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It is. Every time I talk to somebody, it's like, you see this instant, you know, you catch people at, like, their height, right? It's like, oh, I'm here. I've reached this level. And it's so easy to think, oh, they just, that just happened. Like, that could never happen to me. And you don't see the, like you said, 10 years, because you had a blog, you did photography, you know, all these things like led up to where you're at. So I also don't want to like tell you how to run your life or whatever, but I think you need like a billboard or like a poster in your office somewhere that just says, "So basically God," because like,
exactly, that's
like
great.
Perfection, right? Yeah. I mean, like, your whole story is like, oh, I was at somebody's house sharing my dreams and somebody called, right? And it's like, what can you say besides like, "So basically God," you know?
Which that is really encouraging to me today, because I was even thinking this morning, it's easy to look at other people and think, oh man, they have this great opportunity. They have this platform. They have this message. And what do I have? Which is such a lie, first of all. But I don't ever want to go ahead of God. Like, I have an opportunity right now. I could get on this group and speak to 100,000 people, but I don't really feel peace about it. I don't really feel like there's something that God is like saying, you need to say this. And so I don't want to get on there and talk just for the sake of talking, or just to try to make more friends. Like, I only want to do it if it's really where the Lord is calling me. So it's good to encourage. My telling my own story always encourages me.
Yeah. No, it's God's story, right? I mean,
it is.
Yeah. So let me like stop there for a sec though, and ask you about that, because I feel like hearing from God and discerning opportunities is one of the more difficult things there is for the Christian, right? How do you feel like you have learned to better hear about what God has for you and where he's sending you?
That's a great question. I remember asking a sort of older woman mentor of mine a couple years ago. And she was like, you know what? I just get up every single day and I'm in God's word. And I just, that's it. Like, I was like, okay, that's all I do. Like, I just need to be in God's word. I just need to be in prayer. And she's like, yeah. I think that it's easy in our culture to just busy and distract ourselves so much that we don't make time to just hear the voice of God. And so I try. I mean, that's a practice that we all have to do, just listening.
Yeah, that's good. That's so convicting even to me. Yeah, we do. In Christianity, we so try to complicate things sometimes. And like, it all goes back to like, read your Bible and pray. And like,
yeah,
it's just so simple. It seems ridiculous, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks for that. All right. Let's talk adoption. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your adoption story?
Yeah. So my husband and I got married really young, right out of college, and we wanted to wait 5 to 7 years before we started a family. And then overnight, about year 3 or 4, I felt very clearly like we were supposed to start trying to have a family, start a family. So you feel like, okay, God has put this on my heart. He's obviously going to follow through with it. Why would he give me this desire all of a sudden? So about a year into that, nothing was happening. And it was really a hard year. A bunch of people around me were pregnant and we couldn't get pregnant. And it was devastating. And that's when I was saying I worked at that summer camp and it was so busy. It was a busy time of work. It was for junior high and elementary school kids. We were working with high school and college age kids. So I was like, up late at night doing pranks with them. And like, it was just sort of like this all in ministry situation for 3 months. And I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to sort of put this on the shelf, not even think about it until the summer is over. And the last couple of days of summer is when my mentor, Becca's daughter, asked me if we'd ever considered adoption. And I was like, okay. No. I just hadn't, like, not, I don't know. I just had never, I didn't know anyone who was adopted. I mean, I didn't think I knew anyone who was adopted. It was not a part of my culture. I thought that that was for like special people who had a heart for China. You know, I was like, that is not me. I'm not like this super special Christian. Like, we're just going to have kids and like do the normal thing. And she's like, well, I think you should pray about it. I was like, okay. I was actually in the middle of reading Radical by David Platt. And then we were at my husband's childhood best friend got married that next weekend and we were at the wedding. The ring bearer was clearly African and the flower girl had long blonde hair and they were siblings. And I was trying to figure it out. And I was like, this is cool. Like, I don't know anybody who's adopted from Africa. And I asked the little girl, I'll never forget. I was like, Ella, who's that? Is that your brother? And she was like, yeah, mm-hmm, that's my brother. no, like, he's adopted, he's from Ethiopia, just like, yeah, that's my brother. And so I felt like that spoke volumes to me. And the Lord that week really made it clear that we were supposed to adopt. It took my husband a little bit longer. We ended up going to that adoption conference I was telling you about in Austin. He did not come the first day. We had the biggest fight of our marriage that night about it. And then he went to bed. God put James 1:27 on his heart to care for the widow and orphan in their distress. And he came to the conference, and Aaron Ivey was leading worship. And he didn't tell me this till later, but he said for 1 minute during worship that the Lord allowed him to feel like an orphan and to feel like their pain and their hurt. And he was like, yes, let's do it. So I was frustrated the months leading up to that because I knew that God had revealed to me that we adopt out of an overflow of what, of the love that he's given us. We don't adopt because we can't have babies. We don't adopt because it's cool. We don't adopt because we want to. Like, we adopt because God adopted us. And I knew that if he knew that, that there's no way he would say no, but it just took him a little bit longer to see that. But yeah, so we said yes that day. And about 2 years later, we brought the kids home from Ethiopia.
Dang, that is a beautiful story. That your husband in worship and experiencing what it's like to be an orphan is just, that's incredible. I got a little teary eye there. That's cool. How did it work? Cause you adopted two at the same time who were not biologically
right.
Siblings,
right?
But you brought home two babies at the same time, basically, right?
Yes, yes.
How did all of that go down? I mean, that's a difficult way to go.
Very rare. People who are familiar with adoption are like, that doesn't happen. I'm like, I know. So we started with one agency. We started with Ethiopia when everything was going smooth, and then there was a big slowdown, and a lot of the bigger agencies were experiencing way longer wait times, and some of the smaller agencies had like waiting children's lists. So we switched agencies to get this little boy off a waiting child's list who was really sick. And then turns out one of his family members who didn't even know that he existed stepped forward to take care of him. So we thought that he was our camp. We told all of our family, all of our people, and then we lost his referral. And before we had lost his referral, so when we started our home study process, we had gotten approved for two kids. Like, just, I feel like people had just said, it's easier to just do more than what you think in the home study so you don't have to go back and redo it later. We didn't tell anybody. We weren't expecting two kids. But through all of our mission trips that we had taken during this time period of God opening our hearts and eyes to adoption and all this, we had become friends with this family who had a little girl named Zoe from Ethiopia. And Stephen had been praying, my husband had been praying that God would give us a daughter. He really felt like we were supposed to have a daughter too. And I sort of thought he was crazy. And so when we lost the referral for our first little boy, they were like, our agency was like, we're going to help you. We're going to match you with kid. Cause we had said, can we adopt a daughter too? Like, it's not really how it works. But then once we lost that referral, they were like, yes. So when they gave us their referrals, we had 24 hours to say yes or no. And obviously we were going to say yes to the boy, cause that's what we had been planning this whole time, but they're 3.5 weeks apart. And I was like, what? I did not sign up for like twins. Like, I was never that girl that like wanted twins or thought that was cool. And obviously they're not actual twins, but, yeah, we said yes, obviously. Yeah. And we just couldn't imagine not having Asher in our family. She's sort of the glue that sticks us all together. So it was crazy, but we did it. 0 to 2 kids. A lot of that time when they were like her age, River's age, was sort of a blur. We were in physical therapy, speech therapy. Camp has been diagnosed on the autism spectrum. So we've definitely had our fair share of challenges. So it's been sweet of the Lord. I never didn't have that desire to birth a baby and experience all that comes with that. So it's really sweet that God gave us Rivers, and she is named from Isaiah 43. It talks about rivers in the desert. And it's been fun to just get to experience some of those things with her that were a little bit harder to do with two kids from a third world country at the same time.
Yeah. That's a lot to take on for sure. Because you know, when you're selling people on the adoption thing, when the world sells you on the adoption thing, they never talk about post-placement, at least in my experience, right? That's like, you're going to adopt these beautiful children and they're going to be awesome. And like, you're going to live happily ever after. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Except for like, trauma, right. Or, disabilities or any of that thing. So what would your advice to somebody like maybe walking this road right now be, right? Like thinking about adoption or.
I love adoption. I will always forever be a proponent and cheerleader for adoption. I think you just need to make sure that you have a strong support system and just do your research and not like know what you're getting yourself into, because if God calls you to adopt, like he's called you to adopt. And so go forth and prosper. You know what I mean? But, we had a great support system and we had friends who were adopting it from Ethiopia at the same time. And I can't imagine. And most of those friends, we didn't know before we started the process. We just became so close because we were going through this shared experience together. So, I mean, just like with anything, doing it with other people makes it a lot more fun and less lonely.
Yeah. That support system. That's good stuff. I think that's important. That's what we see a lot of families that don't have support systems. We actually we help run a ministry that offers support groups for post-placement.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, my wife and I are TBRI trainers. Do you know TBRI?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's a practitioner. She does, therapy with TBRI and all that stuff, but yeah, that's a big part of who we are and what we do. So, okay. I want to talk hospitality.
Sure.
All right. So, I've just seen that over the last little bit here, you've I think last week you had some crazy party that looked incredible at your house. And like, do you mind talking hospitality with us?
Yeah. So we joke. My friend asked me the other day, she was like, so would you say your spiritual gift is hospitality? I'm like, I don't know. I love to gather people. I love to gather people. I love to create the space for people to come. I am not a cook. The details of a party or an event stress me out. Like I do not like that part of it, but I just like people coming together. So yeah, we had a big housewarming / Christmas party at our house, but literally I did a cheese board, which I'm becoming pretty good at, but we got queso and guacamole from a local Mexican place. We had beer and wine and Tiff Street's cookies. So it was awesome and people loved it, but there was no like handmade beautiful things. Like it was just like, come over. People just want to be together and they want to hang out. It doesn't have to be this like your house is perfect and you have the perfect food. Like that just is overwhelming for people. People just want to be together. They don't care. I mean, we were hosting people in our old house when we first moved and we had no furniture and people were sitting on the floor on paper plates. Like nobody cares. They just create the space, invite people in and they will come.
There you go. That's a great word. I feel like so many people don't have people in their house because they're afraid of whatever, like being judged for like things not being clean or, picked up or, whatever, like my house isn't good enough, that sort of thing.
I remember when we were in Midland, when Camp and Asher were really little and we were having our neighbors over for dinner. And I had this moment in the kitchen where I was trying to like finish cleaning and making the house look perfect, probably. And my kids wanted to have a dance party. And I remember distinctly having this moment in my head of like, do I clean or do I just like say, screw it and go have fun with the kids? And I decided to have fun with the kids. And then the comments from my neighbors, like they were like, oh, we're so glad. Like, you didn't, like they came over in their workout clothes. Like it wasn't this big. I feel like we make things up to be this big thing. And it's when we first moved here, this is my other favorite hospitality story. We first moved here, this family invited us over for dinner. The mom has a child with special needs. She had been at an appointment out of town. She'd come in town. Her husband works full time. She's like, okay, we're having pizza. I'm getting salad. We're eating on paper plates. Bring a bottle of wine. I was like, great. So we came over there. Their house was a wreck. The kids had so much fun. We ate pizza off paper plates. And I loved every second of it. If she would have waited till her house was clean and they weren't busy and she could cook a meal, we might not ever have gotten together. And it just sort of showed me, like, if I had gone into her space and everything was perfect and we were sitting down with nice whatever, I would have probably been intimidated and like, oh, I don't know if these are like our people. So yeah, just don't wait till the perfect moment. Just do it.
I think that's such a good word, such a needed word. Man, we need community. And like, if our house is what's keeping us from like true community with other fellowship with believers, like that's just ridiculous, I think. It's good. I appreciate that. You also talked a little bit about just this season of sort of decluttering. And could you mind talking a little bit about some of that?
Yeah. So we just moved into a new house, and our new house is literally twice the square footage of our old house. And we probably got rid of close to half of our stuff when we moved, which sounds really crazy. And it wasn't really intentional, but I think like deep down, if I could really, you know, have gone back and voiced what I was feeling in the moment and to walk into my house and feel peace. So my best friend, Bryn, is a professional organizer. She's a company called The Art of Neat based out of Waco, Texas. And she came to help me. We went through every single thing in my house and decided, she's like, everything has to have a function and a place that it goes. And which is really hard, and which is why I got rid of so much stuff. But now I walk into my home, or we're home on a weekend with nothing to do. And instead of spending all of my time organizing that closet, cleaning out the garage, dealing with this pile of stuff, we just get to be, and we just get to enjoy each other and have dance parties. And it took a lot of work on the front end to get to where we are, but it was so worth it. And I sort of had this light bulb moment. I'm so passionate about helping women really go for their dreams and do what God has put on their heart, whether that's paid, unpaid, in the house, outside the house, doesn't really matter. We all have passions and things that we want to do, but I feel like so many women are held back in overwhelm at their physical space that they can't even think past that to really go for what they really want. So I love sharing very practical tips on my Instagram about how to create sort of that space, how to set boundaries, how to block out your time, like how to be, I don't know, productive, I guess, like productivity kind of hacks so you can like actually live your life and not be like chained to all your crap.
That's super convicting to me. I'm going to have to like change all sorts of stuff now that I've talked to you. Like, you're just convicting me all over the place. So, but I think there is something to that. Like, we just get lost. Like, when my office or whatever is just messy, which it seems to be all the time, like I literally can't even think, I feel like, you know, and then I have to like sit down and organize it before I can actually do anything. Right. But I do have a little, I'd like a little bit of advice from you though. However, do you think that you could have done what you did in simplifying your life without Bryn, right? Your friend, without Bryn coming over and walking you through that process? Is it possible to do solo?
Okay. So I did a lot of it solo before she came because I wanted to be as prepared as I could, but I feel like even just her, now that she has taught me this process, I could do it now for the rest of my life without her, but I needed her. And that's what she says. It's like, she wants to help people find freedom. Like, she doesn't want to be the person that somebody has to hire every single time, but just the process of how she walked me through, hey, actually the memory that you have of all those weddings in 2007 that you wore this dress to are still going to be there if you get rid of this dress that you haven't worn in 10 years. Like, sometimes you just, and that doesn't have to be a professional organizer. Like, you could trade with a friend and say, like, you come over to my house, just somebody who's a little bit less detached from your stuff to say, like, why do you still have that? What are you holding on to now? And now she has taught me these habits, like some of her little hacks, like keep a trash can in your garage. And before you even come in your house, throw all that crap away Like all the candy your kids get at their Halloween party at school, throw it away. Don't even bring it in your house. Like, don't bring things into your house that you're eventually going to throw away. Or, you know, I have a donate pile continually going, and we don't have a garage, so I have to take it or sell it on Facebook or give it to a friend. So I feel like it's just this sort of like continual process that she has set me up to know what I need to do. And now I can just do it.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I feel like we always organize stuff and we put it into donation bags and then it just like sits off to the side, right? And just stays there forever.
Yeah. You got to just take it. Even if like once a month.
You just got to go, right? Yeah. Just got
to
go.
Drive a mile down the road and take it to the place or whatever.
Sounds so easy, right? But yes, that's good. I think that's good stuff. So what else do we need to talk about?
Okay. This is the thing that's been on my mind and what I've been talking about a lot to my girls in my business. And I think it applies to this podcast for sure, is sort this idea that hard work and rest can coexist. Sort of like in life, joy and grief. You think like those two things don't go together. How can those two things happen at the same time? But like it's life in a broken world, and joy and grief do coexist. So just like those two things can coexist, hard work and rest can and should. If you just work, hustle, and never rest or take care of yourself, you're going to burn out. But if you just rest and don't do anything and like just have all these dreams of hard work and what you want to accomplish, but you never do it, you can't do that either. Like you have to do both. And so I have just been really trying to set healthy boundaries, take a day off of work to rest, which is really hard, but also really good. And I'm recently started like time blocking and creating a routine for my mornings and throughout my day to really, I mean, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. Like what, there's this coffee cup that's like Beyonce, you and Beyonce have the same amount of hours in a day. So like, it's just about how we use those hours in those minutes. And not wasting them, but
that's good. Yeah, that's good. I've never thought about me and Beyonce having the exact same amount of hours in our day. That's like super convicting to me. Yeah. If I'm ever going to be Beyonce, I really got to rethink some stuff here. So, okay. But you're a mom.
Yeah.
You have three kids and you have a 2-year-old. What do you have some practical tips for just ways that you have done that?
Well, I'm not afraid to ask for help. I have a babysitter who helps me a couple mornings a week with Rivers. And that has been a huge, and there were many, many years that I would not have been able to afford that. I'm in a place now that I can, and it is such a gift. But if you can't, like so many friends have traded with each other and hey, you watch my kids one day, I'll watch your kids one day. If your spouse has any kind of flexibility with their job, like just, I feel like as moms, it's so easy to, well, we're taking care of everybody all the time. And it's hard for us to ask for help for ourselves and to take some time. I mean, even just a little bit of time, even if it's just once a week or once every other week, to do the things that fill you up, to get away. And like for me, I love to go to a coffee shop by myself and just read and journal. So we go to church on Sunday nights. So sometimes on Sunday mornings, every, I don't know, maybe once a month, maybe every other month, I'm like, babe, I've got to skedaddle this morning. Like, I just need some time by myself. He's like, great, go for it. So and that can look a lot of different ways, but I feel like finding time to take care of yourself is huge. Lately, I have been waking up earlier, which I'm not a morning person. I'm starting to enjoy it more, but again, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. So maybe instead of staying up late and watching Netflix or scrolling on Facebook, you could go to sleep and then get up early. And I try not to look at Facebook, Instagram, my email, text messages for at least the first hour of my day to just fill myself up and sit and read and drink my coffee in peace and get my house and my kids all situated and ready. And it has just really set me up for success for the rest of the day. And I can't stop talking about it.
I love that. I really do appreciate that. Again, conviction. Tell me about time blocking though. My wife recently showed me this on your Instagram. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah. So I have a health coach, and we started talking a month or so ago about creating a morning routine. And I was like, no, I don't want to create a routine. I feel so trapped by a routine, and I'm just more of a free spirit and like, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, I promise it's going to bring you so much more freedom to just like know what you want to do in the morning, what that routine looks like. And just, you get sort of on autopilot, and it's just what you do. You don't think about it. You just do it. So I was like, okay, fine. She's like, just write out everything you want to do in your morning routine, which I can send you so you can include it on the notes. But
okay, yeah.
So I did it, and I don't cross it off. I have the same list that I look at every morning just to remind me. And there's things on there like brush your teeth. I mean, there are things on there that are not this big thing. Like I drink one cup of coffee in the morning. I take my supplements. I turn on my lamps and my diffusers and put my oils on and get my water and sit in my, whatever those things are. So I've started my morning routine, and now I moved on to time blocking my whole day. So the idea, I just learned this from somebody else. The idea is to sort of think about how you were when you were in high school and you went to class for a block of time, and then the bell rang, and then you moved on to your next class, and then the next, and then you went to practice or whatever. And your day was in like blocks of time. And when you were in that block, that's what you were focused on. That's what you were doing. And then you closed it and you moved on to the next thing. So really working on creating those for me, especially as a working from home mom, to say like, my morning time is for this. While Rivers naps, it's for this. After school, it looks like this. The hardest thing for me has been to stay off my phone, the blocks that I don't need to be on my phone. That's my biggest challenge. But that, you know, we get distracted and then we get in this rabbit hole of whatever. So just like, it's okay to take a break for an hour and a half or 2 hours from your phone. The world will continue spinning and it will be there when you get back.
That's really hard to believe. I don't know. You know, what if everything falls apart and I don't have my phone? I mean,
I know. Gosh.
So I think for me, like, hearing you talk about it makes so much stinking sense. But when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, blocking out my entire day sounds insane. Like, because it's the entry, right? Like I would imagine you can't just start with the entire day blocked and just like make that transition all at once. Can you?
I mean, I started my morning routine a couple weeks ago. So I feel like that gave me some great leverage and now I'm just like messing with it to see what works. But I think her biggest tip was setting alarms on your phone. So it's sort of like simulating the bell that's ringing. So like last night, my little alarm went off at 10 o'clock, shut it down. And I think I went over by like 8 minutes of like actually shutting my computer and my phone down. But I think if you just can recognize that it is for your good and it's for your health, then it's going to be worth it. But no, like this has been a process. I've been working with my health coach since August. Like all the things I'm talking about have been such a huge progress for me. And it's baby steps. It is one thing at a time. I love to share my journey as I go and hopefully empower and equip other people to do the same and make good, you know, changes in their life.
Yeah. No, I love that. I appreciate you saying people too, keeping it very gender neutral, because, you know, there's men that need all of this stuff too, right? Yes, yeah. That's good.
My husband has been telling me about time blocks forever. And I'm like, babe, I finally, and he's like, oh, of course, now you get it when you hear it from this girl on YouTube, but I've been telling you that forever.
My wife does the same thing. I'm like, I literally have said this for 2 years and now somebody else says it and it's a good idea? Yeah. Man,
sometimes
yeah.
We just
me and your
have
husband
to
should have some sort of
other people, you know. But yeah, y'all should have a little club. Wives don't listen to you. Club.
Yeah, we need a support group. I think.
Well, then we could talk about it there and get it out, and then you know we don't have to talk about it at home. So that's perfect. So that's good stuff. I feel like I really want to launch this on New Year's Day, right? Because it's I'm on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I feel like what you're bringing to the table is like really good for like getting the like new year started and just this, I don't know, there's like life to it. You know what I'm saying?
I think something that I'm learning is like, we don't have to wait till New Year's Day to do this kind of stuff. Like, yes, it is very New Year's-y, but also we can do this stuff anytime. Like we can start over. We can get a fresh start. We can create new habits anytime we want. And I feel like sometimes when we're like, oh, wait till January, what that looks like is like, I'm just going to totally let myself go this whole month and like eat whatever and stay up too late and like, who cares? But we can create these habits now, anytime we want.
So you're saying I shouldn't just eat whatever for the next 3 weeks and stay up late every night?
You should just take care of yourself and continue with your good habits that you're trying to set.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I do. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks for that. That's inspiring and convicting all at the same time. So, okay. So let's jump into our final two questions. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. All right. So first, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
Like strange, bad, or just quirky?
Just quirky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cause this is a strange job, but it was like the best job.
That's awesome.
I mean, not the best, but for my little 18-year-old self. Okay. So the summer before I started college, my best friend since sixth grade and I were university hosts for Baylor. So we wore these like super cheesy white polos and khakis and had like walkie-talkies. And it was our job to help make all the, you know, like cheerleading camp and basketball camp and science camp and all the people that came make sure they felt, you know, at home on our campus. But there was also a bunch of, so we were the only girls, and then there were a bunch of guys that would like take the water and move the tables and do all of that kind of stuff. And basically all summer, all we did was prank wars between us and them. So we were like, how are we getting paid to like ride around on a golf cart and just like pull silly pranks on these guys all summer? It was really fun.
That's legit. I love that. I'm kind of jealous of that strange job. So good. Okay. So finally, what is one piece of advice that you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom into their work?
Okay. So, well, now that you're saying this, I'm like, oh, I didn't talk about this one thing that's really cool. So I work with a bunch of people who do know the Lord and a bunch of people who do not, because when you have a bunch of women bringing in other women, you know, from all different parts of the country and the world and just different belief systems. And I have at times wanted to hold myself back from talking about the Lord because I know that it's offended some people in the past, or some people have called my community too Christian. And it has held me back, but I have continued to share in a way that sometimes I say, you know, I know we don't all believe the same, but this is what I believe. And so I don't want to discount what other people believe, but I also want to be true to my own beliefs. And actually watched a girl come to know and follow the Lord this semester through that.
Wow.
Through a network marketing company and talking about Jesus on Facebook. So it's like, you never know, like God is pursuing the people that he's put in your path and he's using you. And well, this is the cool part about that I'll share too, is I had a moment where I was like, oh gosh, everybody, I was feeling weighed down by in leadership of everybody needs something from me and I don't really know what to give them. And I just am feeling sort of depleted, which I was reading this morning about the Israelite in my Advent study about the Israelites and Moses, and you know, they're like, we want water. And Moses is like, why are you asking me? And he goes to God like, they need water. And I'm like, ah. So like, people don't really need me. People don't really need you. People need God. And so this young girl again sort of challenged me in that. And I'm like, okay, for the next like week and a half, any of my leaders who come to me needing something, quote unquote, from me, I'm just going to pray for them instead, whether it's on the phone, on Voxer, on Facebook Messenger, on text message, doesn't matter. I'm just going to pray. And that actually opened up a faith conversation with this girl who, you know, that was last May, who on Halloween came to know the Lord. So it's just like, go with those promptings. And even if you feel uncomfortable or like, I don't know how this person is going to take this, or this is really strange, just be obedient to the Lord and do what he's called you to do, and know that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to work through you. Like, you cannot convince anybody of anything. One of my mentors in my business says, all we can do is be a light switch flipper. We just turn on the light and illuminate the truth for people and watch God do the rest. And so I think in any business, you can be a light switch flipper and you can just shine your light and be yourself and illuminate the truth and be a safe place for people to come.
Amen.
That is
good stuff. I love it. I love it. Good, good job. So, well, Wynn, I really do appreciate you taking time and chatting with me. And it was a pleasure to get to talk with you. So
it was fun. Thanks for having me.
For sure. For sure. Thanks. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I did personally. I've been sharing a little bit on my Instagram account just about some of the stuff that we're just getting organized and decluttering and the ways that we're doing that. And so if this compelled you to do something to get organized, to declutter, hit me up on Instagram. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see your progress. I love talking about all this stuff. I love talking about our effectiveness and just getting better, I think, is always such an important thing. So a little listener note. I am going to go ahead and practice what I preach about rest, and I'm going to go ahead and take 2 weeks off. So I will not be launching episodes on Christmas or New Year's Day, but I will be back in the new year better than ever. And we have some just awesome people coming down the pipe for you. We have some great guests and we're still rolling. So yeah, I will see you in the new year. And until then, get out there and hustle.